Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
I'm going to test this out right quick on the app. Now keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. So y'all get nice about it. All right. Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all all right? See how y'all groove today.
Hey.
Hello, everybody. This is author Mary E. Lyle for another episode of Unmasked. And that song was You Better Call Tyrone by Erykah Badu. I want to say hello to everybody on this Friday evening, the ones in Hawaii, the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, and my friend over there, Iron Moody. How you doing, darling? Also, my friends in Nigeria and Cameroon, Africa, Pakistan, Peru, Australia, France, Singapore, and Iraq. So tell your friends about us so they can tune in each Friday, however they do it, whether they Skype, Facebook Messenger, but tell everybody to tune in. And, you know, if you want to ask a question of my guest, all you got to do is hit that number one key, and I will open up your mic. Otherwise, Joseph will not know that you got a comment, you know. So this is part two of a wonderful show. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and Joseph was saying how Mary Magdalene, Jesus' companion from the Bible, and the Virgin Mary has frequented him, and Mary Magdalene comes each and every day. And he's going to share with us how to become wealthy in this economy where I am scared as shit. Now that Trump is president, woo-woo, I need to figure out how to get wealthy because I am not wealthy yet because I got dreams, but I need them to materialize and be my reality. So without further ado, I first got to introduce my beautiful co-hosts, Strawberry and Felicia. I want them two ladies to say hello, and then we'll bring our guests in. And everybody else, please, when my guest is talking, please, please, please give him the courtesy that there's no outside noise. And Joseph, if you got somebody in your house who's sitting by listening to your show, tell them to sit down, sip on some damn wine, and shut the hell up, and let's do our thing. How are you doing, ladies?
Hi, y'all. The shenanigans already.
All right, we're just jumping out the gate acting crazy.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Joseph.
Hey,
how you doing,
hey,
darling?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, Joseph,
I always chuckle at your introductions.
Yeah, for the ones who missed out 2 weeks ago, give us a little brief rundown what we talked about, some things we touched on, and then we can go from there. But welcome again. So I'm so glad you came back because you got an awesome story. And anyone else who want to be on Unmasked, I don't care what your story is, it could be bizarre. You can see aliens. You can have nightmares every night. I don't care. Call us just at 443-956-8753. And trust me, you will be on the show too. So I'm getting it back to you, Joseph. Go ahead, darling. Give us a little rundown. What happened 2 weeks ago?
Well, you know, Mary Magdalene began coming to me in a December evening in 2012. And I guess like anybody, you know, after about 3 months, I started doubting that this was really her. Now, when she first came to me in December, she asked me if she could call me by my middle name, Joseph, which nobody has ever done. And of course, you know, what are you going to say? No, I said, sure you can. But then I said, and I don't know why I said it, but I said, do you mind if I call you Maggie? And I said, I know Maggie's not a nickname for Magdalena, but I've always liked the name Maggie. She said, sure, you can call me Maggie. Well, this was in December, so a few months later in March, I begin having serious doubts. You know, I said, come on. You know, these aren't really coming from Mary Magdalene. People are going to think I'm crazy. So I gave her kind of an ultimatum, if you could do that. But I said one morning, I said, you know, I want to know if these are really coming from you. And I want like a burning bush, something that's irrefutable, nothing hazy. You know, you see these pictures of UFOs and they're always blurry. And, you know, I said, I want something that's irrefutable. Nobody can dispute it. Well, you know, a day went by and nothing happened. A week went by, month went by, nothing happened. And I kind of forgot about it, but the love notes kept coming to me every morning around 2 a.m. And, in July of that same year, she said, I want you to publish these. And I'm thinking, publish these? I said, well, if I'm going to publish these, I guess I better get a few testimonials. And I thought, well, I can't let my friends read them because they're just going to say nice things. So I went on this website that just has thousands of people that do have different services, graphic design and stuff like that. And, I wasn't about to go through everybody's description. So I just started going through the pictures. And I hit upon this photo of this woman. I stopped and I looked down. Her name was Angelina. And something told me that even though her service wasn't what I needed, something told me to email her. So I sent her an email, and I didn't tell her anything, except I just said, I have some poems I would like you to read. I'll pay you to read them. I won't pay you for a testimonial. I mean, if you're inclined to give me a testimonial, because they move you or whatever, I would appreciate it. But you're certainly under no obligation. And so she wrote back and she declined. She said, no, that's not what I do. Now, you would think I would just move on to someone else, but he didn't. Something told me to stay with her. So we went back and forth a few days with emails. And finally, I think just out of exasperation, I get this email and she says, okay. So I sent her a sampling, and when I sent these to her, that's when I told her the story about Mary Magdalene and me calling her Maggie. And, the next day I get this email from her, and it goes, Joseph, I have to tell you something. Love these love notes, but I have to tell you this. Everybody knows me as Angelina. But when I was growing up, all my friends called me by my middle name. And only my very best friends called me Maggie. And I thought, oh my God, this must be the angel from Maggie. And I remember when I thought that, I looked back down at her name, and her name is Angelina, Angelina. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, well, we became friends, and we corresponded back and forth. And about a month later, I guess when she felt more comfortable with me, I get this email. And it goes, Joseph, I have to tell you something else. Everybody calls me Angelina today because that's the name my father wanted to name me. But my mother wanted to name me Mary. Birth certificate, my name is Mary Magdalena.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And
well,
she said, I know you're not going to believe this. So she sent me a copy of her passport to prove it. So that was my burning bush. Mary Magdalena, nicknamed Maggie. I mean, winning the lottery. I mean, you can't. I'm sorry?
The coincidence is too on point to be bizarre enough not to be real. But let me ask you this question real quick. When Mary Magdalena came to you, I am positive that she came and you felt kindness and love because she was connected with Jesus. So if someone came to you, whether you doubted that was her or not, with love and affection, why would you question that? One question. And the second question is, why do you think he was chosen for her to come to you?
Well, I first of all, I think she comes to many people. But why did she come to me? Probably because I need it more than anybody else, right? Mm. I'm sorry, what was the other question?
I was saying, if she came in love, because if she's associated with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior,
why would I
so
doubt?
Naturally,
why would
if
I
she
doubt?
Was to
well,
visit you,
well,
it would
because,
be a long
well,
experience.
She's here to teach me. And one of the things that I need to learn, and everybody needs to learn. And of course, through her love notes, she's here to teach other people. But this is a great point for your listeners, Terry.
Okay.
No matter what we strive for, no matter what goals we set, and especially when you start following your dream, following your heart, your bliss, EGO, for edging God out, EGO, your ego, is always going to try and talk you out of it in very logical ways. I mean, the ego will convince you, right? So with this doubt coming in, that was just my ego, you know, stopped this whole process. And but that's why they have doubting Thomas in the Bible.
Right.
That very reason. That's why they put that story in the Bible, because we all, our ego is always going to try and distract us from our purpose in life and from our goals. And so that was the reason.
Well, it's funny you use the word ego, and I'm going to get to switch this over to my co-hosts for a minute. They got a question as well. Because usually when you say the word ego, I usually visualize somebody feeling yourself, feeling confident, like they are aggressive in their belief pattern. I don't ever think it's ego as being doubtful. Not me. I say, if I got an ego,
Well, ego is your monkey mind.
I got a monkey mind.
The ego always wants to maintain control.
What did you say? Wait a minute, back, Joseph. Did you say I had a monkey mind?
That the ego is your monkey mind.
What is a monkey mind? Because damn it, you're going to go, I ain't understanding that.
Okay. This is your monkey mind. Most people wake up in the morning about what happened yesterday or who said what to who. They look at their phone and they look at the news, and and the monkey mind just starts going off, and then they most people are just robots. But when you get focused on what your purpose is and you start living your purpose, then you start setting goals and you start getting focused. But the ego doesn't go away. Now, here's the key point for your listeners. If you try and fight with your ego, you're always going to lose. The ego will always win. The monkey mind will always win. So what I did is I decided to befriend my monkey mind. So in other words, when I catch my monkey mind misbehaving, instead of fighting with it, I just say, thank you for reminding me to drop back into my heart and make my choices from my heart. Look, we make thousands of choices every day based on fear or love. That's only two choices we have. We make our choices out of fear, or we make them out of love. Now, if your monkey mind is running amok, you're going to make your choices out of fear. If you're in your heart,
that's true. I just looked up monkey
you're going to
mind
make your choices out of
there.
Love.
And some of the fears and pressures
yes,
of your life.
Is.
But real quick, Joseph, I'm sorry to break in, but I want to let Felicia and Strawberry ask you a question, because we're going to need to take a break. So hold on. Felicia, Strawberry, get your questions out. We'll take a small break, and then after that, we'll be back. Felicia,
well,
you're first, darling.
Hello?
Go ahead, Strawberry.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, so you kind of got me, like, kind of wondering about that, the monkey mind of yours. How is that really created? Like, how did you create that?
How did I create
your monkey mind?
Well, your monkey mind is just another term for ego.
Oh, okay.
It's your conscious mind. So you have a subconscious mind and you have a conscious mind. A conscious mind is you know, it's thinking about, well, what am I going to do at 4 o'clock today? Where am I going to go eat? Who said, why did Alice say what she said to Jane? You know, that's your conscious mind, your monkey mind. And it keeps you preoccupied with your daily living. Now, when you get into the law of attraction and setting goals and staying focused on your goals, well, the monkey mind doesn't like that, because now you're using your subconscious mind wants to maintain control of the situation. So by fighting with it, you're always going to lose. So instead of fighting with it, it's never going to leave. It's always there. So I just befriended it. It's kind of like a meditation. There's two main types of meditation. One type says, you know, you meditate and you can't have a thought. If a thought comes in, you're not meditating correctly. Well, you know, good luck with that, right? The other form of meditation is when a thought comes, you use the thought to remind yourself to go back and focus on your breathing. So you can have as many thoughts as you want. Each time they come, it reminds you to go back and focus on your breathing. And that's a successful meditation. And that you use the same principle with the ego, with the monkey mind. Every time you notice the monkey mind running amok, thank you for reminding me to drop back into my heart. And that's how you stay focused on your goals. Right? In other words, the whole day is going to go by, and you realize that, God, I haven't even thought about my goals, right?
Wow.
And that's why most people don't keep their goals.
Wow. Well, I just look online. There is a thing from Buddha talking about monkey mind. It's like he said, it's like when you have so many random thoughts and your mind jumping here and there. But your monkey mind is supposed
right.
to be the one that gets you focused when you've got fear or pressures in your life. So
the monkey mind does not focus you. The monkey mind keeps you unfocused. The monkey mind is like a monkey running around all over the place, right? From one branch to another branch. Right? That's your conscious mind. That's your ego.
It makes perfect sense, though, when you really sit back and think about it. Because I don't just have a monkey mind. At this point in my life, I'm going ape shit crazy right now. So I was just saying being all focused and that kind of thing. So I can agree with that. But I think the question that I have for Terry, I think that maybe you should go ahead and take your break, because it's going to probably cause him to have to go on a little bit longer than we have. I'll ask the question, you know, when we come back.
And who's this, Felicia or Strawberry?
This is Felicia.
Felicia, okay.
Terry.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, you want to ask the question when
question.
We come back off the break?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's going to take them a little bit longer to explain it.
Okay, so good. So we'll be back, everybody, in two and two. But Daffy, you ask your question and get into the monkey mind. We gotta talk about the angels, though.
Right.
Controversial, real, unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, CreateSpace.com, and from her own personal website. website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave.
welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. I'd like to thank everyone north to south, east to west that's tuning in on this Friday evening. And everyone should know that if you want to talk or make a comment, hit the number 1 on your phone, dialing into 347-945-6003. Hit the 1 key, and I will open up your mic. And I just want to give a shout-out right now to one of my dear friends out in Nebraska, Kelly Moore. If I was there, I would be giving you a big old virtual hug and kissy-kissy all over your face, baby. Thank you for being my friend. Hugs and kisses always. But right now, we'll get back to Felicia, who had a question for Joseph before we took the break. So, Felicia, do your thing, darling.
Okay. Joseph, I just wanted to, this is kind of away from the monkey mind thing because I didn't want to go too far with that one. But I just wanted to know why you feel, what is the purpose for, do you think you know the purpose that Murray is coming to you? And then also I wanted to know, you call them love letters. Why do you call them love letters?
Okay. Hi, Felicia. Well, the purpose, the reason she came to me, well, for the love notes, she originally, those started in December of 2012. Back in 2003, she came to me and... it was at the Mission San Luis Rey in Oceanside, California. They were having the breath, a breathing workshop at the mission. The only reason I took it, because I had a vision of Mother Mary years before, and that Mission San Luis Rey is known to have an association with Mother Mary. And so the reason I took the workshop was I was thinking, well, maybe I could have another vision of Mother Mary. And so I was locking up, I announced to my students on Friday evening, I said, I won't be any Saturday classes because I'm attending a workshop. That's all I said. And when I was locking up and leaving, one of the parents came up to me, and she asked me, she said, well, why are you taking the workshop? Without thinking, just out of my mouth came, oh, the... And I'm driving home and I'm thinking, Mary Magdalene, why did I say that? I don't have any interest in Mary Magdalene. So anyway, the next morning, Saturday morning, the facilitator said, okay, we're gonna do some breathing. We're going to do it. This is 8 o'clock in the morning. Lights on. And he said, and we're going to do it sitting in the chairs. And my ego, my monkey mind, is thinking, oh, no, no. Because originally when I had the vision of Mother Mary, it was in the evening. The lights were out. I was lying on my back. And so here we are in the morning with the lights on and I'm going to sit in chairs. And my ego's, my monkey mind's telling me, no, no, this isn't going to work. But I could have just left, right? No, I'm going to go ahead with it. So I sat in the chair and we're breathing. Through the door comes Mother Mary. And she's got someone with her. Well, it turns out to be Mary Magdalene. And they're wearing these long black capes. Now, I had no idea why they were wearing these long black capes. I do know now, but at the time I had no idea. And they come to me and they start giggling and laughing and start circling me and wrapping me in these capes. And they're just, and then Mary says to me, now when I say Mary, I mean Mother Mary. Maggie, I mean Mary Magdalene. But I wasn't calling Mary Magdalene Maggie at this time. But anyway, Mary said, I want you to go to the floor, lie down on the floor. And I swear, Felicia, the moment she said that, the facilitator said, okay, everyone to the floor. So we lay down on our backs on the floor. My head was in Mary's lap, and Mary Magdalene was hovering above me. And that's
so
when she entered
this,
my body.
How could your head be in her lap, and she's hovering over top of you at the same time? Shouldn't she be just looking down at you?
No, listen. My lap is in Mary's, my head is in Mary's lap. Mary Magdalene is hovering above me.
Okay, okay.
They're both of them are there. Now, Mary Magdalene then comes down and enters my body.
Wow,
and she heals me. She heals me of my childhood molestations. Now, anybody who's been molested knows that one of the disempowering things about molestation is that you keep it a secret. You don't tell anybody. Now, I was molested when I was 11. I didn't tell anybody. Now, at this time with Mary Magdalene, I'm in my 40s. I had never told anybody about my molestations. Well, once she healed me, after that, I was telling everybody. I was talking about it, writing about it, giving interviews about the molestations, how I initially met her. And then we kind of stayed in contact over the years. And then in December 2012, that's when she woke me up one morning around 2 a.m. and she told me to come to my writing desk. I sat down in front of a yellow pad with a pen, and these poems started coming through me, four stanzas of poems. Now, we didn't call them love notes at the time. I was just up every morning, you know, just transcribing these notes, sometimes for a half hour, sometimes for 3-4 hours nonstop. And each morning I just would write. And then But in July of the following year, when she told me she wanted me to publish these, that's when I thought, well, what am I going to call them? And at first I called them Love Notes from Maggie. I changed the name to Love Notes for Your Soul.
If I can break in real quick. I know you said that you were molested at the age of 11. Now, it's sad when any child is molested, male or female, but for a male child, is there any advice that you can say right now for my listeners who have someone that they love, that they know, that are male, that were molested? Because the stigma of the confusion of being molested as a male child, and you thinking and associating that with the homosexual thing, and they're not gay, they're just victims. What can a parent, a friend, or someone who cares about a male child that molested can say so they can feel like, first of all, it's not their fault, and they are still normal, and it's okay to move forward?
Well, I think you just have to give them the love and the space to talk about it. And not only talk about it, but write about it.
But that shame that's attached with molestation.
Right. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. But that's what I mean. One of the most disempowering aspects of molestation is that the victim never talks about it. And once you start talking about it, that liberates you. It's like a gay person. Ellen DeGeneres talk about when she came out, it's like taking a breath of fresh air, and because you don't have to hide anything.
Yeah, but when she came out, she came out
completely honest.
She was a lesbian. A male child being molested is not trying to come out being gay. They're trying to understand.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that it's a similar feeling when somebody who's been molested begins talking about it. It's like coming out of the closet. you know, because you've had this secret in you.
Absolutely.
And it's a very, it's very much a part of you. It becomes a part of you and who you are. And that's why I say it's like a gay person. I mean, some of the most loving people are gay people. And,
absolutely, they're still people.
And that's because they're in connection with their feminine spirit. And in my now, The Power of Angels is my third volume. In the first volume, The Power of Allowing, the subtitle of that book, Celebrating Your Feminine Spirit. Because, especially with a man who's been molested, you know, because there's so much secrecy, there's so much shame. But when you start talking about it, you connect with your feminine spirit, your feminine side. And I believe that the reason Trump got elected, because it's caused it has caused uprising of the feminine spirit, and March on
you want to sit there and say, Joseph, you going to sit there with a straight face and say Trump got elected because of the rising of the feminine spirit? Because if that had been the case, they would have smacked the hell out of him.
Look at the March on Washington, the millions of women who participated in that all over the world.
Yeah, true.
That's what it brought to the surface.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's what it brought to the surface. And this world, what's going to bring world peace is the feminine spirit. Look at the history of the world. Why do we have wars? Because of men, right?
Exactly.
Men are always starting the wars.
Need to be in charge. But, Joseph, let me say this real quick. We've got 15 minutes on the clock. Now, this is what happened last time he was here 2 weeks ago. We get stuck in a whole lot of stuff because it's interesting talking to Joseph, number one, and I appreciate that. And when I shut up my mouth, I know Strawberry got a question. But there are so many questions that we won't get a chance to finish tonight. So we give our guests at least three times when they got interesting topics to come back. Can I get you back for the final time? Because we cannot get all our questions in these 15 minutes left. Can you come back and be on the show on June the 9th in 2 weeks? We can wrap this thing up because I still
June the 9th?
Yeah, the second Friday.
Yeah, June the 9th. I got it. I put it down right now.
Okay,
we'll do
because,
part three on June 9th, Friday, June 9th.
Yeah, because Strawberry got a question. And I got a lot of stuff I want to say, and Felicia as well. And we can't do it in 15 minutes. So I'm going to throw this over to Strawberry real quick.
Okay, well, let's do it.
You'll let Felicia talk, and then I'm going to wrap this up. But, Joseph, thank you for coming back. But stay with us because let these ladies ask you some questions. But we got to get you back to conclude all this stuff. And we got to find where we stopped at, ladies. We stopped at the Trump ass getting elected because female uprising, whatever. Go ahead, Strawberry.
Lord have mercy. Okay, I have two questions, actually. Are you a Republican or a Democrat?
I'm an independent.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
That monkey
right.
mind said, I do my own thing. Okay.
I vote for the person. I've lost a lot of friends because, well, I wouldn't say a lot. I've lost a few friends because they were Trump supporters. I will not tolerate when somebody tells me, oh, I'm not a bigot, but I'm voting for Trump. Excuse me. If you vote for a bigot, you're a bigot. I don't care how you sugarcoat.
I like you, Joseph.
If you vote for somebody,
woo. gone, baby.
If you vote for some, if you vote for somebody, if you vote for somebody that's, you know, a pathological liar. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you can sugar. I don't know how somebody can stand in front of me and tell me for equal rights, but I'm voting for Trump.
Hell no. That mean you voted for Obama?
It's like someone telling you, somebody told me one time, tried to convince me that the Civil War wasn't fought over slavery. Well, excuse
me.
You know. Yeah, I mean, people actually believe this stuff, you know. But anyway, Strawberry, you got a question?
Yes. the second question was, against that, you know, with you being molested, you know, young, I do, you know, I'm sorry to hear that and all that. That's very, very sad. What advice can you give other folks, boys and girls, who have been molested? Like, what? Because even though you say, you know, it's not their fault and all that, sometimes young folks still think it is their fault, even though others say it's not.
Well, I think the best advice, begin talking about it. Even if you have to go to a therapist. I mean, if there's nobody, you know, in your circle, in your family circle or circle of friends that you feel comfortable with, even go to therapy and talk to a therapist about it. The important thing is to talk about it. And eventually to write about it, keeping a journal, for example. And then, you know, going on YouTube, you know, you can go on YouTube now and find lots of videos on people talking about molestations when they were children. I think that's it's about the only thing you can do. Again, I can't overemphasize, it's the silence, it's the secrecy that's so disempowering. They did a documentary on the problem with the predatory priests in the Catholic Church, and of all the thousands of horrendous cases they could have presented, they chose to interview who had only been, you know, now I don't like to say only been, because, but in comparison to some of the horrific stuff, they decided to interview a man who had been touched one time. That's all that happened to him. I mean, see, I hate to talk about that. I mean, that's plenty, but in comparison to some of the other stuff that has gone on, he was touched one time. That's all. And they decided to interview him for this program. And the reason they did, they wanted to emphasize the damage it does.
Absolutely.
You know, people think, oh, well, he only touched you. That wasn't anything. No, it was a tremendous thing. So I had been married like three times, couldn't hold down a job, you know. So the devastation that it wrecks in people's lives is just is awful. And so the best advice is to, you know, look at, watch documentaries like this, go on YouTube, listen to people who have come out, are publicly, like TED Talks and talking about their molestations, and then confide in somebody that you trust to about it. I think that's the best advice I can give.
Okay.
Well, Felicia, you had something to say, because I want to give Joseph the opportunity, after you talk to him, to give everyone the information pertaining to his website, his books, and the cost of his books, and let everybody know that you will be back for your final interview on June the 9th. part three, because we got to get a little deep into this, because we keep scratching the surface, but we don't get there. So, Felicia, ask your question, baby, because we got 10 minutes on the clock, and then we'll let Joseph wrap it up, and then we'll take this thing home.
Okay. It's really not a question so much as it is just a statement, just kind of following up with what Joseph was saying about advice. I guarantee you, each one of us in this interview has had some form of sexual abuse that we may have dealt with. I am also, I don't like to use the word victim,
survivor.
But I also, yeah, I'm also a survivor of not just the molestation, like the touching and stuff, but I was actually raped at 10. That's how I lost my virginity. And so, but what I would say is this, it's the kind of, whether you're a boy or a girl, don't be afraid to tell someone. The abuser will normally try to give you threats or make you feel like you're the one at fault, or everybody's going to look at you like you're wrong, to keep you quiet. So you have to know that. Go to anybody, somebody you can trust. I don't care if it's a teacher, whoever. And I don't care if it's a family member or somebody that's close to you that's doing this to you. It's wrong, and they're violating your body, and they have no right to do that, and you don't have to be quiet and be afraid. You go ahead and say something. It's better to say something, because you get to be older. It doesn't get better. It does dictate how you will move in your adulthood and the rest of your life. One thing. Number two, about the boy, this is the tough thing. When a girl is victimized, it's frowned on a little bit more. It's frowned upon a whole lot more than if a boy is victimized. If a boy is victimized by a man, then you might hear somebody say something. But most of the time, the boy is not going to say anything because of the guilt and the shame that he's feeling. But it's not your fault. It's the other person. You have to be, you know, you have to tell somebody. Now, if a woman victimizes a little boy, they almost give them a medal for it. But it's still wrong, because it's
wrong.
Nobody deserves that. And so, I mean, I just wanted to say, I mean, I don't care how you chop it up, this is wrong. And Terry, this could be a whole nother show, because I'm
absolutely
sure everybody has their own story. And it leads to a lot of things, like you said, the psychological damage, and leads to a lot of things. So I just wanted to say that's it. And even if you being a promiscuous person, most people that have gone through sexual abuse, they turn out to be pretty promiscuous for a while. And
Felicia, baby, that's it. Thank you for that comment. But we got a guest who's trying to get in real quick and ask a question. So we'll let this guest on the line, whose last four digits is 3099. Can you make your comment? And Felicia, thank you for such insight. And we will do a show on being molested and what to do about it in June.
Absolutely.
Caller 3099, your mic is open. Can I help you? Caller, you had your hand up. The last four digits of your phone number is 3099. Check to see if your phone is muted. Oh, well. Okay, well. Caller, are you there? Well, Joseph, someone wanted to make a comment because they hit the one key to talk to you. But I just want to say I love you, Felicia. I love you, Strawberry. And the struggle is real. And we're going to do a show in June about being molested and sharing our personal views on that and where we go from there. But right now we're going to use this opportunity to let Joseph tell us about his books, their costs, his website, how to get him, how to get them, like I got mine. And thank him for agreeing to come back for part three, coming up June the 9th. Put it on your calendar, because we ain't finished with Joseph yet. So, Joseph, darling,
thanks, Nara. Any of your listeners want to get I have a special price for your listeners for the a digital copy of Volume 3, The Power of Angels. They can get that at joseph.com. And that will take them to the Amazon link, and they don't need to have a you know, an Amazon reader. That you, if they don't have, they can just download the reader there, and they can read anything they purchase on Amazon. The other, they can go to my website, lovenotesforyoursoul.com, and there, if they they can get a free love notes, they can sign up for free love notes. As of this time, they come out every Sunday, one note every Sunday into their mailbox. They can sign up for that. They can also sign up for a free alchemical breathing technique, which helps them if they're depressed or their monkey mind's just, you know, out of control. It's a breathing technique that helps them center themselves, and they can sign up for that as well for free. If they want a personally inscribed copy, paperback edition of any of my books, they can contact me at joseph@loveyourselfwealthy.com. So the email is joseph@loveyourselfwealthy.com, and because they have to arrange that personally through me, because what I do, I get their name. And then I wait for Maggie to give me a love note specifically for them. And then I write that as the inscription in the book. And then I mail it off to them. Now, there's no extra cost for that. It costs a little bit more because I ship them all out by priority mail. So, but other than that, there's no extra cost for that. And that's it. So josephconfidential.com for the digital and for paperback. And if they want a personally inscribed edition, paperback edition, it's joseph@loveyourselfwealthy.com.
Okay, well, Joseph,
for the freebies,
thank you so much for being here with me and my girls, you know.
Okay,
and,
well, thank you, ladies.
We love you. I appreciate you. And thank you for returning for the final air, Dealing with Angels. And ladies, help me remind where we stopped at. We stopped at giving advice to male and female children.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay.
Well, it's a good Friday in Alabama, sweet out home in Alabama. I hope y'all nice and toasty where y'all at. And everybody out there driving, drive safe. Be alert. If you're sleepy, pull over. Don't drink and drive. Because I got family out there like you got family out there, and we don't want to read about you in the paper. So with that being said, we're going to get out of here with Girl of Birth in my song.
I don't mind making you happy. I don't mind making your day feel so good to give, but I never, never seem to get my way. I'm tired of waking up with nobody laying next to me. I'm tired of being alone and everybody else is
lovey-dovey.
I'm so tired of all of y'all being
happy but me.
I can only find a love I sing about. Oh, when I sang my song. Oh, when I sang my song. I know what I want, something real, something I could feel, and I know it don't come easy. I want to be with somebody who can share my ups and downs, and when they're feeling bad, I can be the one to make them smile. I'm the special guy. I'm saying goodbye. but it's time for me to live out the love that I think about. Walk down the aisle to my song. I want the first dance to be my song. And I wanna, and I wanna make love to my song, to my song. Wanna have babies to my song. I wanna say, damn, it's so good to be mine.